This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right. Welcome back. Ducks on a bye this week. Washington next week. We didn't expect to have the coach since they were on a bye. Their second bye. Because we didn't get him on the first bye. But lo and behold, here he is. It's Dan Lanning. You know, you could have skipped out on this week.
Why are you guys telling me this now?
Well, I thought your staff would tell you, but I mean, you can hang up if you want.
All good. How are you guys doing?
Okay. We're doing good. Congrats on the win there at Wisconsin. It was nip and tuck. Good game.
Yeah, thank you. It was definitely a tough one.
One of the questions I had about that game, and I think it's an interesting archetype of game compared to, say, the Ohio State game, where offenses were getting some production. When you went for the fake field goal at the end of the game, going up six in a game like the Wisconsin game is very different than going up six in a game like the Ohio State game, because of how the offenses were going. So did you give more thought to maybe just kicking a field goal there and going up six, considering how your defense was playing?
Well, I think either way, I felt really, really strongly about our defense's ability to stop them, but the opportunity to put the game away there with the look that we'd seen. You know, we'd kicked a couple field goals in that game already and saw the look we wanted on the backside of our protection there for what we had. And we're probably, a slight block away from getting it when it was 4 yards. So I felt good about, you know, the opportunity to be able to go for it there. Obviously, we didn't get it. So this is how this works when you don't get it. You know, people ask about it.
Well, you've been pretty aggressive in these situations, and I think more coaches have gotten into this with the idea of, it used to be old convention, like when I played, was the idea of you always took points and relied on your defense, but you see and see more and more coaches just take, we have a chance here to close out a game with 3 yards. Is that something more often than not, just in your mind, you would rather go for that than rely
on? It's a checked call. So, I mean, that's the part that people don't realize. Like, if they lined up in a certain front, we kick the field goal. Mm-hmm. So you feel like you're getting the fake ran if it gives you the look you want. And again, we're a block short just because we blocked the guy the wrong direction on that play. Otherwise, we're probably getting the first down. So if they gave us a look that didn't fit the fake, then the kick's kick. So I think you do catch yourself in moments where you try to build more calls like that where it has answers either way. So we very easily could have kicked the kick if they lined up in a different front, but they overloaded the front and gave us the look we wanted for the fake.
But just in general, I mean, even going back to the last couple of years against Washington, is that something that is a situational, you know, basis, or do you just kind of have, is that more of a coaching philosophy just in general that given the chance to close out a game on one play, you'll take that opportunity?
Yeah, I think it depends on how the game plays out. But when you have an opportunity to close out the game, you know, that's definitely something I'll probably lean towards more.
Where do you like to stand on the sideline? I mean, like, to watch. Like, what's your best viewpoint?
I don't know that I've put a lot of thought into it. Defensively, I like to be behind where I can see the offense's formation. Offensively, I probably like to stand opposite a little bit more where I can see the defense's alignment, you know, on our offense.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I was watching you on the sideline in Wisconsin. I'm like, I wonder why he stands there. And then other times he's over there. Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving plans?
Yeah, I haven't thought that far ahead.
What?
Yeah, I haven't thought that far ahead. I'll eat. That'll be the plan. I'm not cooking. That'll be the other part of that plan. But we'll have practice that morning. We'll still be rolling, getting ready prep-wise.
Yeah. Do you like having a second bye here at this time of the year to kind of, I don't know, give yourself a little chance to breathe around the holidays, or would you prefer just going right into it?
I'm definitely a fan of having a bye after you've played 8 weeks in a row. Yeah. So I'm a fan of that. Would I always put the bye right here? I don't know that I would. But I don't pick that, so I don't really care, right? Yeah. You pick what you get.
Do you have, and I don't even know if this is something, I mean, you always say you don't really care about, you know, rankings and anything like that, but a lot of debate now, it doesn't necessarily involve you guys, but as we get closer to this and figuring out, who's in, who's out of the playoff and seeding and all that, the idea of a conference title game, because you guys are in, regardless of what happens against Washington, you guys are in. Do you have an opinion on whether or not a conference title game should factor into what happens as far as who's in, who's out in playoff seeding? Because the idea is you can actually get punished for making a conference title game and losing, as opposed to just staying at home and not making your title game.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to win a conference title. That would be awesome. Is it easier not to win one? Probably, right? I guess. Is that what you're asking? Like, it's certainly an easier flat path to play one less game if the only goal is to win a national championship. I don't think anybody could argue that. But on the same note, you play to win. And I think it would be awesome to have the opportunity to win a conference title. But there is a benefit, too, that you can create, a potential first-round bye because of that, too. So I think there's positives as well.
Yeah. I just was wondering if you would be under the idea of – I've heard some other people float, and Lane Kiffin was saying that he just doesn't think that you should be punished for losing a conference title game, that conference title game should only be there to elevate a team. You should not be punished if you make it to your conference title and lose.
Yeah, so win, I guess, right?
Well, that would solve it, right? Getting there and winning. Yeah.
This is Dan Lanning with us here on The Fan. What goes on the Dan Lanning Thanksgiving plate?
Definitely some ham, some dark meat turkey, some stuffing, and some pumpkin pie, I would think. Mashed potatoes and gravy, that's got to be part of it.
Okay.
Sometimes you get those, like, the thick noodles. Those are pretty awesome, too.
Oh. Do you pile it on?
Fill the plate.
Yeah.
Fill the plate. It's all going in the same spot.
Yep.
Mixed together.
Mix it.
Kind of like one of those KFC bowls, you know?
There you go. Yeah, the famous bowls.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's right.
That raises a question. Dan Lanning's favorite fast food?
I don't know that I have a favorite. Does Chipotle count as fast food?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fast food.
I mean, I like Chipotle. I mean, I'm a variety guy. I like it all. I'm not picky.
But you tend to like Mexican food, and because
I like Mexican food. I mean, I like Arby's too. You know, with a good some horseradish on a roast beef sandwich is pretty good sometimes. I mean, I like a burger. I mean, I like it all. I'm not picky.
Yeah, the roast beef is good. Like a post workout, you don't really you want to get something and quick that isn't like the worst thing for you. You know, a lot worse than just getting a big old Arby's roast beef.
Mm. So you're saying that's actually good for you?
There's nothing you're getting at an Arby's or anything that is good for you. I'm saying that if you're...
But you're saying it's not as bad as a Big Mac?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, especially...
Gotcha. I never looked at it that close. I didn't know.
Well, as a former Makes fat sense. Guy, you have to like be aware of these sorts of things. And you just get one big roast beef, maybe take off half of the bun. You know, just do like a bottom bun sort of thing. And it really is, it's one of the better options that you are going to get at a fast food place.
There you go. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the former O-lineman, when you're done playing, you go one of two ways. Either you get to be like 330 or you got to go to like 240. You got to make decisions when it comes to those things.
No doubt.
What is, so Washington obviously is, completely different. What are they bringing to the table this year as opposed to last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you still look at the roster and you say there's some really, you know, dynamic players there, really talented at back. You know, obviously they've got a couple different quarterbacks that have worked for them. And, you know, one of them's been more of a passer and one's really, you know, tough to get down on the ground, able to run around. And defensively, I think they're playing really well. You know, they do some really good things there, defend well. And you see a lot of the NFL scheme stuff that carried over with the, you know, the Patriots that they brought there. So, yeah, definitely a team that's capable.
Now, I don't know if you'll be out recruiting because I know that's ramping up, but how much of the Ohio State-Indiana game will you have your eye on here? Because that, obviously, one of those may be your opponent in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll definitely have it on. We'll be recruiting, but wherever I'm at, I'll find a way to be able to watch that.
So already some advanced scouting going on there, knowing it's going to be one of those two teams?
I'm sure there's people in our program that are breaking, you know, that film down. Our focus is right now is on Washington. For sure, at least for myself, that's the film I'm watching. But we'll have some people that are getting ahead as far as having film broke down for those teams.
When you go back and look at the Wisconsin film, that was the first time anyone's held you guys to under 20 points. I mean, it was, what, I think maybe 10 less than you've had all year. When you go back and look at that, was it something Wisconsin was doing? I know they played a hell of a game. Was it an execution thing? Was it just a little bit out of sync? What was it where the offense just didn't click like it has in all the other previous weeks?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of all those things. Yeah, I think they played really well and had a good plan, but also think that we missed some opportunities too, you know, and didn't take advantage of some of the things that we had there in front of us, you know. And then takeaways, I mean, you're in the red zone and the ball gets turned over. That's never a formula for having success. You got to score when you get down the red zone.
And then it sounds like, I mean, I know you guys don't talk about injuries, but, you know, Tez on his Instagram, if he's back, what does his presence, he seems like one of those gravitational guys that draws defenders to him. What does having him back in the fold, or what will it mean when he's back?
Well, he's obviously a great player. You know, he's played really good football here for us at Oregon. And, you know, I think he's definitely a hard player in college football to defend. So, he adds a lot of elements. You have to be aware where he's at on the field at all times if he's out there.
Generally speaking, it sure seems like that you guys have stayed relatively healthy. Is that true? Like in the pantheon of your coaching here, has this been a pretty good year in terms of not too many injuries?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think at this point in the season, everybody's banged up, and we've certainly had some this year. Would I say it's less than a normal year or more than a normal year? No, I think it's about the same. Okay. You know, when you get to this point in the season, I think what's shown up this year for us is our depth as a team. You know, having quality players that are able to get out there and give great reps when somebody is down.
Yeah, what did Thanksgiving look like at the Lanning household growing up?
Well. Yeah, definitely started off with, you know, grandma sneaking in some early pumpkin pie before everybody else was up. And then you watch the parade, mm-hmm. right? And then it's football, right? It's Cowboys and Lions that day, right? That's you're making sure you're tuning in to watch that.
Did you ever do a Turkey Day football game?
I mean, we play in the yard for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, all the cousins and all the family, we definitely had our own football game going on outside.
What was your highlight as a player when you played football?
Highlight meaning biggest game ever?
Biggest moment. Like, what comes to mind when the Dan Lanning playing career, surmise it?
I mean, I had a lot of fun playing. I'd say I played exactly where I was supposed to play. So I went to William Jewell College. So I don't know that you're going to walk away and say, okay, this is a super impressive highlight. But I had a lot of fun playing. Like my best game in high school was probably Higginsville. I think I had 2 touchdowns as a tight end and 4 nice. Sacks.
Whoa, Travis Hunter.
I don't know. In college, I don't know, maybe Central Methodist, maybe. I think I had an interception in that game, maybe a couple sacks. So, but I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to find any film in any of that anytime soon.
Well, that's why we asked you.
Yeah.
You know, only you know that kind of stuff. When did you know you wanted to be a coach?
I've known for forever. Yeah, I mean, probably since I was in seventh grade. Once I realized I wasn't going to play with Shaquille O'Neal and Penny Hardaway for the Orlando Magic, I knew I wanted to start coaching.
Pivot.
So I'd say that was right around seventh. Yeah, right around seventh grade, right, is when I kind of figured out, like, wait, if I'm not the best player here in Richmond, Missouri, I'm probably going to have a plan B,
right?
You know?
And then when did you know that you would be or are a good coach?
Oh, I don't know if you'll ever know that. You better keep working to get better and better each day.
I knew that would be the answer.
Something tells me when you're the number one team in the country,
it might be pretty good.
A decent indicator that you're all right.
Well, I think it's a good indicator that you got great players and a great staff. So that's certainly the way I feel here.
And will the outside family, the Mrs. family, will the extended Lanny family, do people gather for Thanksgiving, or is it more of just kind of keep everything tight in the middle of the season?
That's a good question for my wife. I think we have some family coming in, but I don't think they're coming in for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
For Christmas or?
No, I think they're coming for the game. I think they're coming for the Washington game, but I don't think they get here Thursday.
Okay. Gotcha.
But again, that's a question. She's in charge of the calendar at this point.
That's right. That's not my job.
All right. Well, enjoy the recruiting weekend, and good luck against Washington, because I don't think we'll see you next week. So good luck against the Huskies.
All right, appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
All right, you too. There he goes. Dan Lanning of the Oregon Ducks. His appearance is here every Thursday, brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You, us, Unitas.
I do appreciate that he is it all mixed together. I don't like the people that separate the food on the plate.
I don't know how you could for Thanksgiving.
I've seen people to do that, and it bothers me.
And they eat one at a time?
Yeah, it's just like everything has its own little quadrant, and I'm like, what are we doing here?
That's weird.
Yeah.
He's right. It all goes to the same place.
Yes.
Just shovel it in your...
And as someone has pointed out on the text program, it can't stand on its own. But it's like the dude's rug is the gravy. It ties everything together. You can't just have gravy, but you need gravy to tie the meal together. It just kind of goes over everything and is a snuggly blanket that just kind of connects all the food.
Yeah.
You got to have a quality gravy.
I would say a quality.
I won't stand for a skimpy gravy. I won't do it.
Well, I'm okay with a skimpy gravy. I'm okay with just the gravy. I'm going to put it doesn't matter what the gravy is. I'm putting it on the food.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did not have a gravy. Oh. That's a mistake.
I'll tell you right now, if I show up and you don't have a gravy and it's a quality gravy, I'm saying something.
Because it's too dry otherwise.
It's bush league. Turkey tends to be a dry meat in the first place. You better be bringing some gravy to the table. And I want a gravy boat, damn it. Don't give me like one little like spoonful of gravy. I need proper gravy distribution.
To
it
me,
can make or break a meal.
And this may be controversial, it may not be. To me, stuffing is the greatest part of Thanksgiving.
I can't disagree.
I love stuffing. Yeah.
I'll go one further. I think we should find ways to incorporate stuffing for other meals
yes.
around the calendar.
Why wouldn't we?
Why wouldn't I enjoy a nice scoop of stuffing in February when it's cold out?
Like, fantastic.
I mean,
that is
on.
Exactly right.
But look, I understand where you're going with it, but Thanksgiving is about one thing and one thing only.
Turkey?
It's about turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
Turkey's the worst thing on the plate.
I'm sorry. That's what that holiday is about.
I understand.
About.
I eat
moist,
it.
Moist, delicious
not,
turkey.
Turkey's so overrated, but it is a part. You know, it's the holiday, so, you know, you partake. Mm. But that's not even remotely the coolest thing on the plate. There's all kinds of cool stuff on there.
I understand.
And then you put on the turkey because, you know, you got to have the meat and, you know.
It's there.
It's the tradition.
Thanksgiving falls apart without the turkey on the plate.
Well, it sounds like the Lannings are double meat people because he led with ham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that he said one part of the plan is I'm not cooking.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That man is focused. You want to like Oregon's chances to win the championship?
Yeah.
Just listen to the things he says and the things that he doesn't know about or care about.
The things
about.
That he's not even remotely aware of or even on his
radar.
Do you
have family coming in? I don't know.
I don't know.
Talk to my wife.
What are you going to do for Thanksgiving? I don't know.
It's not my job.
This is great. Yeah. This is exactly the whole thing. Remember when I was telling you when I was at Kansas, everybody used to get mad at Roy Williams because he would golf?
Yeah.
Oh, what are you doing golfing? You should be game planning for Missouri. And he'd tell him to F off in the polite Roy Williams southern voice.
Yeah.
But... Lanning is doing none of that.
No.
Like, that should make you feel good.
No, he's
look, they're going to give it their all here.
The eye is not off the prize.
I mean, he's not.
I can assure you of that.
Golly. Chipotle, though. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been. That was predictable.
The Chipolate?
That was predictable.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, in a pinch, post workout, you need to get some protein and not be the world's biggest fat ass. I'm telling you, giant roast beef, take one of the buns off, treat you right.
All right, Dan Lanning postgame? I don't know. I mean, there's no game or anything.
No.
So maybe we'll move on.
Yeah, it's UW. Eh.
Coming up next.
And honestly, the game doesn't, I mean, outside of Pride,
UW,
the game means nothing.
Well, the game is revenge game.
Yes.
That's the key.
Yes.
Lanning needs to get that monkey off his back.
60% of his losses are UW, right? Yeah.
But for, God forbid, if something were to happen, it has zero impact on Oregon. None.
And as Pete calls it, the Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam.
He will complete the Grand Slam, having beaten Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon State, and Washington if he wins this game.
I think the Beavs are the intentional single on that.
I would say so, with Ohio State being the home run.
The intentional walk, maybe. Sorry, Beavs. Hey, we got the Pac-2 championship this weekend.
What? Oh.
Washington,
Oregon
State.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question about that. Let's get to that next.
All right.
Yeah, you know, let's give them a little love.
Let's do it.
People want us to talk about that stuff all the time. Let's do it.
Talk about the bees?
We'll do that next on The Fan.